Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters, Spiritual Talk, Healing Done Right, Spiritual Growth, 12-Step Indigo Meditation, and much, much more, hosted by Duchess and Jewel.
Hey, you hear me clearing my throat? I'm getting ready for y'all. How's everyone doing? It is I, Duchess. I'm feeling great today. I really am feeling wonderful. I mean, it's amazing. Sometimes when we alleviate some of the stresses in our lives or we just do something that's been preying on our brain that we need to get off and we need to do, it's amazing how the whole body reacts to it. So we're going to talk a little bit about some of that today as far as, you know, our issues are in our tissues. And like Caroline Mee says, you know, our biography is, in fact, and can become our biology. But let me wish everyone a happy Easter, a happy Passover. We have Ramadan. We have a lot of holidays going on this weekend, a lot of celebrations and a lot of worships and a lot of Thanksgivings. And I just want to let everyone know that I embrace the all of it, and I pray that for all of us, we find some peace in these challenging times that we're facing on the face of this earth. I'm still going through my emotional grieving. You know, I lost my brother in February, and I just still cannot settle it in my brain that it was his time to go, because when he entered into the facility that he went to, it was for rehabilitation and it was not for nursing home services, and he wound up getting stuck there and couldn't get him out. And the day before his passing, I had gone over to my housing management to asked them if they had an apartment coming up available that he was income eligible for, and they did. And before I had an opportunity to tell him, the very next day he was gone. So, you know, that's still hanging heavy in my heart and in my mind and in my entire being. And of course, he was laid to rest with my mother. So the two of them are together. They did things together. I mean, they would be fasting during the month of Ramadan together. They would be going down to the mosque and having tarawih prayer in the evening after breaking fast. Both of them went to Saudi Arabia, and they were both hajjah and a haji. So they made their pilgrimage and all of that. So they did a lot together, and so now they're resting in peace side by side, or, you know, one with the other. And so let's talk about some of these issues. At the end of the show, I'm going to make sure we have time, even if we run over, because we've been doing the 12 steps of recovery on the show, and we would be talking about the fourth step today, because this is the fourth month, and we will be talking about the fourth principle behind the fourth step. So with that said, we need to figure out if I can get my paperwork straightened out here and make sure that I'm not going nutsy and crazy over what I want to say, because it looks like I got my paperwork upside down. Let's fix that real quick before we can even begin to talk about 6, 7, 9, and up. So let's talk about Caroline Mee. And my title for the show is Our Issues Are in Our Tissues. And I find that to be kind of sort of true, what's going on, you know, the trauma that we've ever suffered in our lifetime. Our bodies remember this stuff, you know, our bodies react to this stuff. There are a lot of us who in recovery every year, what happens is on our recovery date, or as we're approaching it, we start acting a little wonky, and some of us call it squirrely, and we're wondering what the heck is going on. Why am I all mean, evil, and grumpy with everybody, blah, blah, and all kinds of stuff going on with us. And then it dawns on us, wow, I'm approaching the anniversary of my recovery. And so the tissues remember this stuff. It's still in the synapses, nerves, they're starting to act a little crazy because they remember. The nerves remember. The cells remember what we went through. And I remember it was approaching the 5th of April. Oh, on that day, I was horrible. I was mean. I was agitated with everybody. I mean, I didn't have any patience. I mean, I snapped. I didn't think about what I was going to say. I knew what I was going to say, but how I was saying it to people, it just fell out of my mouth, and that's the way I felt about it, and that's the way I approached it. And then that evening, my sister reminded me that was the anniversary of my mother's passing 2 years ago. So when my mother passed that day, I remember being very upset with her because she wasn't sick. And I remember marching around the house, complaining and fussing and letting her know how agitated I was that she had the nerve to die the way she did, because it was like she had just left me a message. She sounded very strong and she sounded very active. She was getting dressed for her Juma prayer. That's the Muslim Friday prayer. And that's what her message said, and I'll call you later. Well, they always picked her up in the van to take her for a ride down to her mosque. And she went there, sat down, passed in her charity, closed her eyes, and that was it. Well, you know what? I was livid. It was like, how dare you? How dare you leave this way? And that's the way I was acting on the 5th of April this year, a couple of weeks ago. I was acting that way. How dare you? How dare this? And how dare that? And who do you think this is? And I mean to tell you that I don't have the patience for this, and I don't have the patience. And then it dawned on me. That was my reaction when my mother decided to depart. I even said out loud, I don't even have anything to wear to a funeral. You know, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to get dressed for this? Because she wasn't sick. She just decided that was the day. Or her and her higher power decided, well, this is your checkout day. And, you know, like, nope, I'm not giving you time to say goodbye to everybody. You're just going ahead, pay your charity at the mosque and close your eyes and, you know, we'll take over the rest. And that's how it happened. So I believe in a lot of cases, or, you know, a lot of times when we're reacting a particular way, if we think about it, it's our energy picking up on something that we have gone through before, and we just don't know that that's what's triggering us. Those are our triggers, okay? So let's talk about Caroline Meese. Caroline Meese is a medical intuitive. And what Caroline Meese says is that everything is alive, or everything that is alive, it pulsates with energy. And all this energy contains information. You know, so we're big balls of pulsating, energy-filled, filled neurons and atoms with information. You know, your physical body projects an energy field that extends as far as your outstretched arms and the full length of your body. Now, that's a whole lot of energy. Deepak Chopra even says that we're big balls of energy. And if you took away, you know, just if you took away the skin, that, I mean, well, not really. If you took away this meat coat that we're wearing, that's what you would see. Nothing but energy, just energy. So it is both an information center and a highly sensitive perceptual system. We are constantly in communication with everything around us through this system. That includes the information that I'm in communicating with this table that my arms are resting on. I mean, the screen that I'm looking at when I walk outside and I touch a tree and, you know, so we are constantly, this energy field exists constant, and we are constantly in communication with everything around us through the system. Within your energy field exists emotional energy, which is created by your internal and external experiences. These experiences can be both positive and negative, fleeting or long-lasting, like with my feeling about how my mother left. You know, I mean, you know, I had a negative reaction to that, and so it seemed that on the 5th of April this year, I had a negative reaction to everything around me, and so these things were triggered. And it evidently was a long-lasting emotional energy experience. So it can be past and present relationships, profound or traumatic experiences and memories, belief patterns and attitudes, including all spiritual and superstitious beliefs. Your emotions reside physically in your body and interact with your cells and your tissues. So, your biography becomes your biology. I get tongue-tied when I say those two words at times. So let's try that again. Your biography becomes your biology. In other words, your issues are in your tissues. Emotional energy contributes to the information of cell tissue forms an energy language which carries literal and symbolic information. In this way, your biography, that is, the experiences that make up your life, becomes your biology. Your body contains your history. Every chapter, line, and verse of every event and relationship in your life, it's either positive or negative. As your life unfolds, your biological health becomes a living, breathing, biographical statement that conveys your strengths, weaknesses, hopes, and fears. Every thought you have travels through your biological system and activates a physiological response. That's deep. Excuse me. Some thoughts, like fears, are like depth charges. You know, like those depth charges that go real deep and, you know, just explode, causing a reaction throughout your body, like boom. You know, it's like it just, and you don't even realize it. Then there can be a loving thought which can relax your whole entire body. Some thoughts are more subtle and still others are so very much so unconscious, you know. Like, I remember one time I was driving and I was listening to some music. I was listening to music. And the song that I was listening to was one of those songs that, you know, one of those kind of love songs just made you just chill and made you feel very, very relaxed and calm with the moment and the day. And it made me feel so good. And then there was a time when I was listening to the same song, but it was under some funky, wonky circumstances. And that same song did not give me the same relaxed, chill attitude. It registered sadness and depression in me. Now, the song didn't change, but the experiences that I had at different points in time when I listened to this song, that's what had changed. So some of these things can be meaningless and they pass through the body like wind through a screen, and then some of them can like just be, can knock the wind out of you. Learning the symbolic language of energy means learning to evaluate the dynamics of power in yourself and in others. Energy information is always truthful, and your relationship to power greatly influences your health. Our lives are structured around power symbols such as money, authority, title, beauty, and security. Now, in countless situations and relationships, the underlying dynamic at work is the negotiation of power. Who has it? And how can we maintain our share of it? So it's like, you know, who has the power, who doesn't have the power, and managing personal power and your symbolic and physical relationship to power symbols is an essential component in facilitating your healing. Healing and curing are not the same thing. Now, we're going to talk about, because Caroline Meese talks about the seven energy centers, the chakras, and it's amazing how if you look at each of the seven energy centers, you'll see the energy centers that affect which organs inside the body, and I find that very interesting, especially with regards to myself and the lower back pain that I have, and I always knew that I suffer from, abandonment issues and betrayal issues. You know, I don't just trust everybody, but I do have issues. I take issues with abandonment and betrayal. So healing and curing are not the same thing. Let's talk about curing. Curing is the successful controlling or abatement of an illness that does not necessarily include alleviation of the emotional or psychological stresses that are part of the illness. The process leading to a cure is generally passive, where the patient gives over authority to the physician and or prescribed treatment. Now, healing is an active and internal process that includes investigating one's attitudes, one's memories, one's beliefs, and one's relationships to power. The desire to release all negative patterns that prevent one's full emotional and spiritual recovery. Now, I'd really like to do some of that healing, especially for my back. Because I didn't get any shocks in my back and, you know, the pain, it comes and goes. But it was amazing this morning when I woke up, I had a sense of relief. I was ready to go take a walk. I had settled some things in my mind on how I was going to handle certain issues. And just the thought of how I was going to handle those issues evidently took some of the stress and tension out of my back. Let's talk about these energy centers. I love reviewing the chakras because the body contains these seven energy centers, and they are known. As I said, they're known as chakras, and together these energy centers, or what Caroline Meese calls our data banks, are an archetypal depiction of our individual maturation through seven distinct stages, okay? So not only does going through the chakras give you the stages of maturity for a person, because there are some people who are still responding in their maturity at the first chakra level, which we'll find out what that is like right now. How about the first chakra is the foundation of emotional and mental health and your connection to traditional familiar beliefs, support, the information, and the formation of identity and a sense of belonging to a group. The sacred truth of the first chakra is all is one. You're connected to all of life. Every choice you make and every belief you hold exerts influence upon the whole of life. This particular chakra rules over the base of the spine, legs, bones, rectum, and your immune system. The effects of this chakra can be chronic lower back pain, hair, rectal and immune disorders, depression, multiple personality disorder, obsessive compulsive disorder, addictions, sciatica, and varicose veins. And what are our issues at the first chakra level? Physical, family, and group safety and security, ability to prove for life's necessities or to provide for, and standing up for yourself, feeling at home, social and familiar law and order, abandonment, fears, family bonding, identity, tribal honor code, support, and loyalty. Now, she has a list of self-examinations, and you can ask yourself some of these. And as we ask ourselves some of these, I'm going to write these numbers down for myself to see, you know, what the heck is going on with me here? What belief patterns did you inherit from your family? 2, do all of them still have authority over you? 3, what superstitions do you have? Which have more authority over you than your own reasoning ability? 4, do you have a personal code of honor? If so, what is it? 5, have you ever compromised your sense of honor? If so, have you taken steps to heal it? 6, do you have any unfinished business with your family members? If yes, what prevents you from healing your family relationships? 7, list all the blessings that you feel come from your family. 8, if you are a parent, what qualities would you like your children to learn from you? 9, what tribal traditions and rituals do you continue? 10, what tribal characteristics within yourself would you like to strengthen and develop? Okay? That's your first chakra. They call that the root chakra. You know? Wait a minute. We're getting ready to go on to the second chakra. Okay. Let's look at the second chakra. Okay. The root chakra was, well, it's depicted by the color red, and it's called the root chakra. That's the first chakra. Your second chakra, the second chakra is your center of personal power, creativity, sexuality, and finances. Issues of physical survival, control, and one-on-one relationships are the core of this energy center. The sacred truth of this chakra, honor one another. Every relationship you develop, from casual to intimate, helps you become more conscious. No union is without spiritual virtue. The organs that this chakra governs are the lower abdomen to the navel, sexual organs, large intestines, lower vertebrae, pelvis, appendix, bladder, hip area. The effects: arthritis, chronic lower back or hip pain, sciatica, pelvic, low back pain, sexual potency, urinary problems, prostate or ovarian urine illnesses, fibroids, menopause severity. The issues: fear of loss of control through events such as addiction, rape, betrayal, impotence, financial loss, or abandonment by partners or colleagues, ability to take risks, personal identity, blame, guilt, money, sex, power, control, creativity, ethics, honor in relationships, decision-making ability, power to rebel. Amazing, because for some reason I can see where I kind of sort of in my energy field, I live in the sacral chakra. You know, I live between sacral and root chakra, because, you know, I have the issues with the back. You know, I've been in recovery for 25 going on 26 years. I have these issues in fear of abandonment and betrayal. And, you know, it's like I don't easily fall into having relationships, intimate relationships, you know, of the loving kind with anybody, because I don't trust. I don't trust people to love me the way I'm capable of loving people, you know. The self-examination for this chakra, which is the sacral chakra. One. How do you define creativity? Do you consider yourself a creative person? Do you follow through on your creative ideas? Two, do you often direct your creative energies into negative paths of expression? Do you exaggerate or embellish facts to support your point of view? Three, are you comfortable with your sexuality? If not, are you working toward healing your sexual imbalances? Do you use people for sexual pleasure, or have you felt used Do you honor your own sexual boundaries? Do you keep your word? What is your personal code of honor or of ethics? Do you negotiate your ethics depending on your circumstances? Do you have an impression of the divine as a force that exerts justice in your life? Oh, yeah. So, I find that I fluctuate between, so far, the first and the second chakras as far as fear of abandonment issues and things like that. And who knows, I may fluctuate between first, second, and third, but it's kind of like I need to, rather than balancing other people's chakras, I need to do a balancing, get my avatar out and balance my own chakras. Chakra 3. Oh. The second chakra, the sacral, is depicted with, you know, in orange in color. And the third chakra is the solar plexus chakra. This is the third chakra. Hello, third chakra. The third chakra furthers the development of self-esteem and personality. Separate from your tribal identity, this is where you learn to draw and maintain strong boundaries and a personal code of honor. The sacral chakra's sacred truth is honor oneself. So the first chakra, all is one. The second chakra, honor one another. The third chakra is saying, honor yourself, honor oneself. Be mature and honorable in the relationship you have with yourself and accept responsibility for the person you have become. The organs that this chakra dominates is abdomen, stomach, upper intestine, liver, gallbladder, wow, kidney, pancreas, adrenal glands, spleen, middle spine, behind the solar plexus. Now, I'm looking at this third chakra and I'm thinking kidney for the first time ever in 2020. I got gout, and they said that the gout was because my kidney wasn't functioning properly, you know? And then I also know that a few years ago, I had to have a colon resection. So I'm looking at all of these things that I have been working on through the course of a few years spiritually to get myself a little bit more balanced than I am, but I keep fluctuating, going back and forth. It's like I find no stability in my spiritual growth. Third chakra affects arthritis, gastric, and a duodenal ulcers, colon, intestinal problems, pancreatitis, you know what I'm trying to say, diabetes, chronic or acute indigestion, anorexia, bulimia, liver dysfunctions, well, hepatitis, adrenal, and dysfunction, period. Issues, trust, fear, intimidation, self-esteem, self-confidence, self-respect, ambition, courage, ability to handle crises, care of yourself and others, sensitivity to criticism, personal honor, fear of rejection, and looking foolish, physical appearance, anxiety, strength of character. So, to examine oneself, do you like yourself? What do you like and why? Are you actively working to change the things about yourself you don't like? Are you honest? Do you sometimes misrepresent the truth? Why do you do that? Are you critical of others? Do you blame others as a way of protecting yourself? Are you able to admit when you are wrong? Are you open to feedback from other people about yourself? Do you need the approval of others? If so, why is that? Okay. Third chakra. Amazing. So this third chakra is located in the stomach area. It is the center of your personal identity. It rules all aspects of your personality and your self-esteem and ego. Let's talk about the fourth chakra. There's seven of them. Chakra number four. This is your heart chakra. Here lies the powerhouse of the human energy system. From this middle position, the fourth chakra mediates between the body and the spirit and determines their health, strength, and balance. So it's like right there in the middle of the other six. It separates the other six. Okay, so the lower ones, I would guess, are the physical, and as you proceed on the other side of the heart chakra, you're moving into the spiritual. The sacred truth of this chakra is love is divine power. Emotional energy is love. It is the central power point and true motivator of your body, mind, and your spirit. The organs that this chakra oversee are central to the center of the chest, the heart, the circulatory system, your lungs, your shoulders, arms and hands, ribs, breast, diaphragm, thymus glands, whatever those are. The effects: it affects congestive heart failure, heart attack, mitral valve prolapse, cardiomegaly, asthma, allergy, lung cancer, bronchial pneumonia, upper back, shoulder pain, breast cancer, and the issues. When these organs are affected, you know what the issues are. The issues are love, hatred, bitterness, grief, anger, jealousy, inability to forgive, self-centeredness, fears of loneliness, commitment and betrayal, compassion, hope, trust, ability to heal yourself and others. So let's do a little self-examination here with this fourth chakra. Fourth chakra, that's your throat chakra. Located in the center of Hold on. Okay, fourth chakra. I don't know where I was taking that. We know the fourth chakra is the heart chakra. And it's located in the chest area. So let's do some self-examination. What emotional memories do you still need to heal? What relationships in your life require healing? 3, do you ever use emotional wounds to control people or situations? If so, describe them. 4, have you allowed yourself to be controlled by the wounds of another? Will you let that happen again? What steps are you prepared to take to prevent yourself from being controlled that way again? What fears do you have about becoming emotionally healthy? 6, do you associate emotional health with no longer needing an intimate relationship? Whoa. What is your understanding of forgiveness? And 8, who are the people you need to forgive? And what prevents you from letting go of the pain you associate with them? Wow. That's your 4th chakra. Love is divine power. That's that chakra's sacred truth. Love is divine power. Okay. We can move on to the 5th chakra now. The 5th chakra is the center of your struggle with choice and the ability to release your will to divine guidance. Its essence is faith. Faith in our fears or faith in the divine. The sacred truth of this chakra is surrender, personal will to divine will. Your every choice, thought, and feeling has biological, environmental, social, personal, and global consequences. Actions motivated by personal will that trust divine authority give you the richest power. The organs of the throat chakra are the throat, thyroid, trachea, neck, vertebrae, mouth, teeth, gums, jaw, esophagus, parathyroid, and hypothalamus. The effects, raspy throat, chronic sore throat, mouth ulcers, gum difficulties, TMJ, scoliosis, laryngitis, swollen glands, thyroid problems. And the issues that may arise when this is out of balance, choice and strength of will, personal expression, following your dreams, using personal power to create, addictions, judgment, criticism, faith, knowledge, capacity to make decisions. So let's self-examine. What is your definition of being strong-willed? Who are the people that have control over your willpower and why? Do you seek to control others? If so, who are they and why do you need to control them? Can you express yourself honestly and openly when you need to? If not, why not? Are you able to sense when you are receiving guidance to act upon? Do you trust guidance that has no proof of the outcome attached to it? What fears do you have about divine guidance? Do you pray for assistance with your personal plans, or are you able to say, I will do that. I will do what heaven directs me to do. I love that statement. What makes you lose control of your own willpower? Do you know you need to change but continually postpone taking action? If so, identify those situations and your reason for not acting. Okay, let's talk about the 6th chakra. One of my favorites. I love the 6th chakra, and I love the 6th and 7th chakra because the 6th chakra is the 3rd eye chakra. The 6th chakra is the energy center of intuition, intellect, and reasoning. Known as the 3rd eye, it involves our mental abilities and our psychological skill at evaluating our beliefs and attitudes. The sacred truth of this chakra is seek only the truth. Continually search for the difference between truth and illusion, the two forces present in every moment. Thus, what you cannot see far more than what you can see. In other words, trust what you cannot see far more than what you can see. This chakra, the organs, brain, nervous system, eyes, ears, nose, pineal gland, pituitary gland, and it affects brain tumor, hemorrhage, stroke, neurological disturbances, blindness, deafness, full spinal difficulties, learning disabilities, and seizures, okay? And what issues are you having to cause these things? Self-evaluation, truth, intellectual abilities, feelings of inadequacy, openness to the ideas of others, ability to learn from experience, and emotional intelligence. So here we go. Do you often interpret? These are your self-examinations. Do you often interpret the actions of others in a negative way? If so, why? What negative patterns continually surface in your relationships with others? What attitudes do you have that disempower you? What beliefs do you continue to accept that you know are not true? Huh? Are you judgmental? If so, what situations or relationships bring out that tendency? Do you make excuses for behaving in negative ways? Recall instances in which a more profound level of truth than you were used to hearing was revealed. Was the experience intimidating? What beliefs and attitudes in yourself would you like to change? Can you commit to making those changes? Are you comfortable thinking about your life in personal terms? Do you know you need to change but continually postpone taking action? If so, identify those situations and your reasons for not acting. And last but not least, the seventh chakra. That's the crown chakra, color purple. The seventh chakra is your connection to our spiritual nature and our capacity to allow spirituality to become an integral part of our physical lives. Sacral truth. Live in the present moment. Achieve a personal relationship with the divine. All physical, psychological, and emotional illusions or fears need to be removed from your life. Let go of the past. Do not anticipate the future and live in the present of the divine. Organs, muscular system, skeletal system, and skin. Effects, energetic disorders, spiritual depression, chronic exhaustion that is not linked to a physical disorder, and extreme sensitivities to light, sound, and other environmental factors. Issues, ability to trust life, values, ethics, courage, humanitarianism, selflessness, ability to see the larger pattern, faith, inspiration, spirituality, and devotion. Your self-examination. What guidance have you sought during meditation or praying? What type of guidance do you fear the most? Do you bargain with the divine? Do you complain to the divine more than you express gratitude? Are you devoted to a particular spiritual path? If not, do you feel the need to find one? Do you believe that your God is more authentic than the divine and other spiritual traditions? Are you waiting for the divine to send you an explanation for your painful experiences? If so, please listen. How would your life change if the divine answered your questions by saying, "I have no intention of giving you insight at this point in your life"? What would you do then? Have you started and stopped a meditation practice? If so, what are the reasons that you failed to maintain it? What spiritual truths are you aware of that you do not live by? Are you afraid of a closer relationship with the divine because of changes it might trigger in your life? And there you are with your chakras, you know? And I have to say that I do agree. I do agree wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly that my issues are definitely in my tissues. Definitely. You know, because I have some work to do. And I feel that if I went back to my meditation practice on a regular basis the way I used to, it would just kind of take all the kinks out of all the other chakras that I'm having issues with. And perhaps, like I say, I need to get my avatar and I need to balance out my own chakras, you know, because I have a tendency to do things for other people that I need to be doing for Duchess, you know. I forget to put the oxygen mask on self before I start trying to put the oxygen mask on other people. And that's where I'm finding issues in my life. I'm always putting the oxygen mask on other people. So before closing, we want to talk about the 12 steps. We talked about the 12 steps, and this month is the fourth step. So for the first, second, and third month, we admitted we were powerless over our addictions, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that our powers were within ourselves to restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of our higher powers. We understood that higher power to be. Now, the fourth step is making a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Now, we looked at the principles of each step. The first principle was surrender, admitting that we are powerless over our addiction. Second principle was hope, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore sanity. Third principle was commitment. We made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of our higher powers. We understood him. And here you go. Your fourth principle is honesty. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. That's the fourth step of recovery. Addiction flourishes because of self-deception. No one wants to admit that they are addicted to anything, whether it's drugs, alcohol, a person, whether it's sex, whether it's, you know, self-mutilating, whether it's food, you know, anything of that matter. No one wants to admit that they are addicted to anything. All right? So when we look at the fourth principle of honesty, I'm not believing that I did this to myself. Okay. no one wants to look at the fourth principle of honesty. Okay? So what does that mean for us? We don't want to be honest because it's hurtful. Of those hurtful behaviors that we engage in while actively seeking out these addictions of drugs, people, places, things. That's not who we are, they tell themselves. That's not me. But if addiction is a disease that promotes dysfunctional behaviors, true recovery must mean addressing those actions and the accompanying character flaws. Here's the thing. You can't get better if you don't identify precisely what's wrong. In this case, that means taking an unflinching look at yourself, the real you, scars and all. This is the goal of the fourth step of recovery. The guiding principle of the fourth step, honesty, breaks down into two parts. Your moral inventory must be one. Searching. You must thoroughly examine your character, thoughts, and past actions and make a list of both your defects and your strengths. And you have to be fearless. Taking an honest account of your personal character means facing some uncomfortable truths about yourself. You must not be afraid to bring the skeletons in your closet into the light. Your natural impulse will be to minimize your faults and gloss over uncomfortable realizations. Everyone wants to be the hero of their own personal story. Okay? And it's distressing when that's not their reality. But anything less than absolute honesty means you are doing yourself and your recovery a grave disservice. Now, my understanding from listening to people talk in the halls of recovery, that they find that the fourth step is the most hardest one to take. With me, I found the fourth step was the one that I wanted to get through. Because I had always been told that when I got to the ninth step, all the miracles would start happening. So I had to clean the proverbial house. I had to write all of this stuff, gunk out. You know, just get it all out there, put it on paper. Just do like my daughter said, just be about it, you know. Don't talk about it, be about it, just do the damn thing. And that's what I wound up doing. And I found that that fourth step began the beginning of the cleansing step. Gunk out all over the place in that journal. And then we moved to the fifth month, the fifth step, and the fifth principle, which will be admit to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. And with that, I would say that we need to think in terms of calling it a night. I enjoyed being here, enjoyed being with you, love you immensely. I want you all to pray for me. Because I've been going through a lot of challenges. Life has been very challenging the last past, since my mother passed, April 5th, 2019. It just seems like things have just been a challenge. And then there was COVID, then my brother, then I had to move, all kinds of stuff. So perhaps things will ease up on me and I'll be able to travel. I'll be able to do some things because I retired May 29th, 2019, and I haven't felt like I've had a vacation or retired yet. I'm still moving slowly and taking care of business. Love you. I know that I haven't been doing this on a regular. It's because of all the other things that I have put in front of coming together with y'all, but know that I'm here and I miss you and I'm going to do my best to do better real soon. Take care. Be blessed and enjoy your day. Thank you. Thank you.